And welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church this Palm Sunday. And whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. A few ways to learn more about the ways that GPC is church together. Check out the many worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities that are printed in your bulletin. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning. Last Sunday, we had no announcements. This Sunday, we have made up for it. So, open your ears and get out your pens and calendars if necessary. I have a few to start us off. This week, of course, is Holy Week, and you can see in your bulletin the many worship opportunities going on here Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, both at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. And yes, for those who have been asking, there is an Easter sunrise service. Yes, 6:15. So have your cup of coffee in hand, and we will meet on the patio for a wonderful moving celebration. And of course, the Easter sounds will be around us at 10 a.m. for the traditional service. And also this week, folks have asked, do we have mega meeting? It's Holy Week. Are you crazy? Yes, I am. I would have rescheduled it for next week, but it's break week, so no one's going to be here then either. So we do have mega meeting this Tuesday. All are welcome. But there is a misprint in your bulletin. There is no Bible study on Wednesday. No Bible study. And one final announcement that I have for communion this Sunday, today. Normally, we follow the order of worship for communion that's in your green books. Get ready for it. We're going to do something different. The liturgy is printed in your bulletin, so if you need some time to prepare and look over it, go ahead and do that. So the communion liturgy will be in your bulletin this morning. And a few other announcements. We'll start here.
Any choir members who are not in rehearsal this morning, we will gather on Thursday this week instead of Wednesday for rehearsal. Before the Maundy Thursday service, we'll get together at 6:30. So if you come on Wednesday, I'm afraid there won't be anyone there. But we'll see you Thursday at 6:30.
What was that about bells? They can play bells. So yes, bells still happening on Wednesday. Good to know.
Hello. I have two announcements. First, on Tuesday of this week, Prayer Shawl Group will meet at 2:30. Not at 2, but at 2:30. Second, I will be doing a book review in Heaven is for Real. If you have read the book, great. If you haven't read the book, come anyway. See you then.
April is one of the months that we serve a meal at St. Joseph's, so it falls on the third weekend. And since Easter falls in the middle, we decided we'd get the sign-up sheet up early. So it's on the bulletin board. Please take some time to sign up for food donations and volunteer your time to either prepare the meal or help come down and serve on Saturday, April 21st. Thanks.
Hola, buenos dias. That translates into, what are you crazy having a mega meeting on Tuesday? First of all, I want to thank everybody that worked on or participated and came to and supported our mystery night a couple weeks ago. It was a big success. The final count isn't done yet. But if you're interested, you can come to our meeting tomorrow night. And I'd like to invite everybody to our Guatemalan Partners group. Tomorrow night is our meeting at 7 o'clock here at the church, and we're going to be starting to plan a trip for the summer of 2013, not this summer, but next summer, with a work project involved to visit the Randall Shays Village and other things. So if you're at all interested, please come and join us. And at some point, I'm going to have this poster up, too, I'd like you to take a look at. And this is 8 scholarship winners that are supported by the funds here from Gates Presbyterian Church. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements this morning? Then let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our whole entire selves to worship our holy God. Stand as you are comfortable and able for the call to worship. The Lord be with you. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter and give thanks to the Lord. We will give you thanks, for you have answered us. You have become our salvation. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you.
That was terrific, kids. Some people really know how to sing Hosanna. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Holy God, we sing glad Hosannas at the gate when everyone else is doing so, but we are hesitant to pass through and stand at the foot of the cross. We do not like to admit our lack of commitment to you, but neither do we want to be considered fanatics. We are full of good intentions, but we admit that passing through the gate of commitment is hard work. Have mercy upon us and give us strength to enter through the gates that keep us from following you. Please take a moment and offer the Lord your silent prayers of confession. In Jesus Christ's name, let us all say amen.
One great hour of sharing ambassadors, please come forward. We usually sit, but today we're going to stand, okay? You stand with me? You could sit if you want. Okay, besides a bunch of crumpled up paper, what does this look like to you? What do they look like?
Rocks.
Rocks. That's right. It's a bumpy road. You know, sometimes in life we have to travel the bumpy road, right? Well, when Jesus was near the Mount of Olives coming into Bethany, he sent some people ahead of him to look for a donkey that no one had ever ridden before. So they went ahead of him and they brought the donkey to him. And back in the days of the Bible, people wore cloaks or capes. So I brought a couple today. This cape here that I own, I like to wear in the winter. But my kids will tell you that they have a name for me when I wear this black cape. It's a cloak or a cape. We have another special one we have for Christmas, okay? So when Jesus came into town, a lot of people remember that people waved the palms, like all of you did this morning. But the people who really knew that God was coming knew that Jesus was somebody very, very special. They knew that he was the king. Common people like you and me, they knew that Jesus was king. Now, could you imagine, Mrs. White, if Jesus were coming and all of the kids in the choir ripped off their robes and laid them in the dirt? What do you think Mrs. White would say? Holy cow, they're going to be filthy. That's a lot of dry cleaning. But she probably would be very proud, because if she knew that you knew Jesus was coming and we all took off of our capes, can keep your robes on, and we laid down our robes and our capes like that. Who wore a cape today? There's somebody who wore their cape today. And they laid it down on the road so that Jesus could walk, and he understood, they knew he was king. You would lay down your cloaks back then to show your respect for the king so he could walk down the bumpy road of the path. So that's just a good symbol for you to remember that Jesus is king, and we lay down our robes and our cloaks, even our invisible ones, for Jesus. Now, some of you brought your fish banks today, but I want to remind you to bring them next week, okay? Because next week's when you turn them in. So dig in the couch cushions, go check out the dryer, and make sure you grab all those pennies, nickels, and coins and dimes to put in your banks. Now, could we kneel for a prayer real quick? Ready? Dear Lord, we lay down our cloaks for you as a symbol of respect and keeping you as the King of love in our hearts. Thank you for traveling the bumpy road of life with us. Amen. Now, when you go out that door there to Sunday school, Dominique, my daughter, has some special stickers for those of you who have your sashes or for your hand, and you'll see what it is when you get to the end of that road, and it'll help you to remember that Jesus always walks with you, okay? You have a wonderful, wonderful class. You still get a sticker. You bring it next week, honey.
The first reading today is from Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Amen.
Guide our majesty, O mighty.
Amen. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door, outside in the street, and as they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it, many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. We have traveled to, entered through, and sat outside of many gates on our Lenten journey this year. But is there any gate more precious to us than the sweet, idealized gate of Jesus' Palm Sunday ride? Now, technically, none of the gospel writers mention a gate, but we won't let that ruin our fun or our theme for this morning. And besides, they don't say that he flew over the city wall on a donkey either, so we can only assume that he entered through more conventional means. The possibility of flying donkey aside, this approach, this entrance through what scholars do assume is the eastern gate into Jerusalem, was hardly conventional. In our imaginations, we might see this gate as the chancel, waiting at the end of the aisle for a bride processing into her wedding ceremony, with the congregation gathered watching her every move. Or maybe a bit more near and dear to us right now is to see the banner through which Kentucky and Kansas will enter into the court on Monday night for the final game of March Madness. Or, if you prefer, imagine the new stone face and massive arches of Gate 4, where Yankee fans will enter in a few short days for opening day. And for those who know that I'm a Detroit Tigers fan, that sermon illustration, big stretch for me this morning. But hopefully I've captured for you that sense of excitement and anticipation as we gather at the gate, the Jerusalem wall, this day. And yet I can't help but wonder, is excitement the only feeling and reality at that gate today? Palm Sunday marks the end of Jesus' long trip to Jerusalem and eventually to the cross. The crowds are singing their hosannas today, but will very quickly shout, "Crucify." If we believe that Jesus knows what is going to happen when he enters through this gate, and we know what's going to happen, can we just focus on the excitement and ignore everything else? Many preachers say, no, we can't. And I'll be honest that I'm disappointed with that conclusion that has been reached by many of my colleagues. The thought is that since most people decide to skip out on Holy Week services, which I know does not happen here at GPC, because our Holy Week services are beautiful and very, very spiritually profound. But there are people who do encounter the pageantry of Palm Sunday and skip right to the glory of Easter. And so the solution has been raised that we just do away with Palm Sunday. Save the excitement for Easter and instead focus on the passion narrative that people miss out on during the week. Standing at the gate with Jesus this Palm Sunday, I don't think we need to completely get rid of the excitement to see the cross. I see it as an opportunity, an invitation for us all to hold in tension the mystery of what it means to stand at the threshold of the gate with Jesus this morning. It is the gate where we hear the shouts of the crowds who are excited and long for a Messiah to show them another way. And they do reject that way when they don't get the answer they're expecting. It is the gate where we experience the paradox of our own pain and this broken world, right alongside the promises of God's transforming love. It is the gate where we stand and wonder, how could Jesus have known what was coming and still rode in on that donkey this day? The Gospel of Luke has Jesus weeping in the midst of this parade. And it prompts me to wonder why. Not why is he weeping, but why? Why did Jesus make the commitment to deliberately cross the threshold of the Jerusalem gate and step into that one place, the one place where he knew his words would meet people whose imperial and religious authority would lead to his crucifixion? Why? Traditional answers intermingle with more contemporary ones. Making restitution to a vengeful God intermingles with an understanding of Jesus' suffering, his solidarity with all of us. Atonement theories, they are called. And none of them are complete, but all of them are useful. As a preacher and teacher, I've fallen into the trap of thinking that it's my job to have all the answers as we come to the gate of this week. So it's reassuring for me when other well-known preachers, and even better when it's a teacher of preachers like Fred Craddock, who answers the why question very honestly. I don't know. We are called to think on the whys of our faith with humility and integrity, with all the complexities of the pageantry and the joy and the betrayal and the denial and the pain and the suffering. And even though many of us have been taught otherwise, our questions do not make us any less committed to the events that take place at the gate this morning, or where our steps will lead us following Jesus into this week and beyond. It doesn't make us any less committed, though commitment itself seems increasingly difficult for people in our society to do. Some social scientists say that we are a culture of less and less becoming joiners. We're eager to contribute our time, our finances, our energy, but ooh, those long-term projects, pledges, ooh, membership. I'm sure you've heard some of the statistics, or at least the media blurbs that followed articles and books in the late 90s about bowling alone. This is a term that became shorthand for the claim that commitment to civic engagement is on the decline. And, well, we'd like to, but we don't ignore the statistics that the same trend has been going on in religious institutions. Of course, some say it has more to do with understanding ourselves as spiritual or religious, but the bigger question here: are we willing to commit ourselves in community? Is a commitment to standing together at the gate with Jesus really necessary? I think it is. The moment we commit ourselves to God with a trusting heart is when we cross that threshold. We acknowledge that God is at work in us. We seek with the intention to be open to God who is working through us to carry out God's realm of grace in this world. In the book we've been using this Lent, Open to Me the Gates, by the Reverend Grady Parsons, stated clerk of the Presbyterian Church, he writes that committing ourselves to God means committing ourselves to something larger than our own whims, passion, or priorities. And I would add that it means committing ourselves to something larger than our insecurities, our doubts, our inadequacies, or our questions. The very word commit, at its root, is about connecting. It's about bringing together. In committing himself by passing through the Palm Sunday gate, Jesus was able to bring together the sin and death and separation and brokenness of this world and transform these seemingly impossible odds that feel like they have the last word, their grip on all of us. And he reveals the grace, love, justice, and hope that God has for this world. This is the gate of our Lord, the psalmist proclaims. The psalm that we read this morning, 118, is a psalm of thanksgiving and was often sung at Passover, which is the religious celebration that is happening as Jesus rides through this gate. So perhaps the entire crowd, Jesus, his followers, the frightened disciples, the little children waving the palm branches, Maybe they were all singing together, "Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through and give thanks to the Lord." Oh, give thanks to the Lord, the psalm opens and closes, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. To describe steadfast love as the essence of God's character is both countercultural and radical at that time. The Hebrew root for steadfast love is the word for womb. That is the God Jesus came to the gate in Jerusalem to reveal, is the one who loves like a mother loves her child, maybe the most tender, gentle, and at the same time the most fearless, fiercest love in the world. No one at that time would dare to think to use such language for God. The gods of antiquity were stern and angry and powerful and fearsome. They were out for blood and power. They were seen as detached, disinterested in human life, and out to punish the wicked, which unfortunately is still a popular way to think about God. Perfect. The God the Hebrews experienced and Jesus revealed is a very different God. One who is affected and involved in our human lives. This is a God who commits, who connects with human beings every day, even in those dark valleys, those bad days. The valley of the shadow of death, which each and every one of us experience, both personally and communally. Those are the days when you feel like the church has betrayed you by not being there when you were most in need. The day you felt abandoned in the darkness of your own doubt and questions and struggles, and all the church had to offer was religious cliches and one-liners. This is the day our own weeping was met with those whom we trusted by them fleeing from our side. Even there, the steadfast love, the fierce love of God remains. I don't know all the details of why Jesus passed through the gate and committed himself to the events that would happen this week, but I believe it has something to do with Jesus knowing in the depths of his very being that love and deciding to live out of that fearless, fierce love and holding nothing back. We don't have to have all the answers this Palm Sunday and Holy Week, but we can connect to that fierce love by becoming part of what God is doing in this world and together walking through the gate with our lives. May it be so. Amen. come to this table, not as mere spectators at the gate to Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, standing and watching the day's events. We too are part of the crowd, shouting our loud hosannas. And we also come to the table as Good Friday people, with a sense of defeat, knowing that we too have silently witnessed the crucifixion and failed to enter through the gate of commitment and trust that God is guiding our steps. Whether we are ready to travel through that gate or not, our risen Lord meets us at this table and welcomes us all to share in this feast. Open the gates of your hearts, that the God of glory may come in. Open the gates of righteousness, that we all may enter and be at rest. We enter the gates of the Lord.
God's love endures forever.
God of enduring love, of all that is good and beautiful, all that is just and true is your doing. Morning by morning, you whispered your dreams and hopes into our hearts. And though we were formed by you, we looked around at everything sin and death had to offer and followed them through the world, thinking they could protect us. You gave prophets the tongues of teachers to comfort our weariness and teach us the way back to you, but we turned our back on them. When judgment did not lead to redemption, you sent Jesus to reach out in love, to bring us through the gates to you. So with those who spread cloaks before you and those who are sustained by your love, we join our voices singing Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, sustainer of the weary, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your love became human. He emptied himself to glory, to be filled with our broken hopes and hearts. He chose the path of suffering love, so that we could run through the streets of the kingdom, waving branches of joy. He walked the sin-cold stones into the tomb, which could not hold him, so we could join our voices together proclaiming, Hosanna! Hosanna! He is risen. As we journey through Jerusalem and beyond, as we struggle with death, loss, and grief, we would ponder the mystery that we call faith. In trust, Christ died. In joy, Christ was raised to a new life. In hope, Christ will come again.
O Holy Spirit, as we come to this table, bless the gifts of the bread and the cup, that they might be the sustenance of grace. Strengthen us with the bread of life, so we would not turn our backs on those who hunger. Nourish us with the cup of hope, so we might sustain the weary. So fill us with the good news, that we dare not remain silent, but must shout of God's desire of justice and peace for all. And when the gates of joy have been opened to us, we will spend moment by moment, every knee in creation bending, singing our praises to you, God in community, holy in one. Amen. And we give our thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, gathered his friends around a similar table. And on the night before he gave himself to the authorities for his death, and so that they might remember and know that God's bread gives strength. He took the common bread and he made it holy, just as he takes common people and makes us holy. To remember, he asks us to repeat this act again and again, And he did by saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." But we cannot live by bread alone. And so he took the cup as he did the bread, and as he poured it, so we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is the faith made new." Faith that we wouldn't even know how to ask for. Faith that will surprise us. Faith that will sustain us. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. We break the bread and we drink the cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, for the promises of new life, and for faith to hope made anew. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate in this mystery together.
Thank you. This is the body of Christ, broken for each and every one of us. Taste, see the mysteries and glory of God.
Thank you.
Friends, this is the cup of the new covenant, God's promises of love and grace and mercy poured out for us all. Thanks be to God.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for making this no ordinary meal. It has been one in which we have been fed and nourished with your life. May we go from here refreshed and eager to share your life and love with others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I invite you now to share your prayers, joys, and concerns out loud if you would like, or in the silence of your hearts. Our ushers will be around with a microphone. Raise your hand high if you have a prayer to share today.
Andrea Unson, I ask for prayers. My Aunt Gertie passed away this week, and she led a very faithful life that I'm thankful for, and prayers of thanksgiving that she will be received in the heaven with Jesus.
Tracy Vander, I ask for prayers for the staff and students of Gage Chalet High School because the district has once again proposed more cuts, including another school counselor position.
Prayers.
Janice Bilalovic, Thursday morning, George's mother had a massive stroke. Left her with very little voluntary function. They put her on hospice care yesterday.
Prayers be with you.
Hi, Todd Pym. Just a prayer for a family, a close family friend. She was diagnosed with cervical cancer this week, so her and her family will need prayers. Thank you.
Sally Olson, prayers for Ralph and his family, particularly his brother Chip, as Chip lost his husband this week to a brief but terrible infection.
Prayers for the family.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my cousin Janice, who lives in Texas, lost her 26-year-old son this past week in a car train crash.
Prayers for the family.
Good morning, Jean Sclair. I would just like you to keep praying for Jack Hughes as he's not doing well at all. Please keep him in your prayers. Thank you.
Got a prayer back there as well. Any others?
Gary Dykes, just continued prayers for Carrie's uncle, who's in hospice care, and just pray that there's he continues with no pain and is comfortable.
In prayers with our children this morning for an uncle who had surgery. Prayers for Bennett as he has his tonsils removed this week. I would also add prayers for the parents as well. Prayers for a pet fish. Prayers for my friend Sarah, who is really sick. Prayers for a sick Nana. Prayers for Lori Butler's family as she passed away. Prayers for all of those who are traveling to Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and all over the place this week. Prayers for a teacher who had a minor heart attack. And prayers of joy for new stuffed animals. Holy God, through the shouts and the branches, the Savior rides again into our hearts through the gates of Jerusalem, through the places we have fortified sometimes against even your truth and love. Patient God, be with us today as we witness again the entry of Jesus through the gate into the holy city. Remind us that whatever gate we stand at needs to welcome Jesus, truly in celebration and in commitment to his witness to us. We can get so focused on the celebration, and we look past the solidarity, the solitary figure on that small donkey. God, we stand at this gate of mystery today to welcome Jesus. May our welcome of Jesus also be reflected in our welcome of others who come and stand with us in our midst. Free us from judgment and prejudice that we may be open to hearing your word through the ministry of Jesus and the disciples. As we have spoken the names of the ones who are near and dear to us, who need your healing love, O God, help us also to remember that we need a good measure of your grace and mercy. Bring us through this parade into the comfort of your love. Hosanna. Blessed is Jesus. Blessed is he who comes and who continues to come into our lives forever. And taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us continue in our joy and thanksgiving of the God who is ever with us as we celebrate with our morning offering.
Thank you. ask that you help us to see and understand your desire for us, this commitment beyond these gifts, a total, unabashed, unapologetic commitment to you to see and understand the wonders of your grace and mercy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. For our closing hymn, we will sing verses 1 and 4. Verses 1 and 4. Cross. Go with the love that God gives freely to us all, the humility that Jesus demonstrates, and the courage of the Holy Spirit to put one foot in front of the other on this journey. Amen.